Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales prior to stepping back to focus more on building Realty Universal membership network. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And now, Natalie Mullinex.
Hey, everybody. I'm so happy to be here another week and spend an hour with you all. It's so many changes. So many things are happening right now. And today, lots of times, you know, we're those of you that are used to us and then people that aren't, they know that we don't always talk about real estate, but it is real estate in the sense of home, communities, everything, different situations. And today, though, we are going to talk totally about real estate in Ocean City, Maryland, and other things happening. So if you're thinking about moving to Ocean City, Alex Piella is going to share his wisdom, and he's the go-to guy. Alex is a family man who is a realtor licensed with Berkshire Hathaway in Ocean City. He began his career in broadcasting in 1980, started working as a traffic reporter in 1996 in the Ocean City area. People still to this day remember Alexander Piella and the Traffic's Commander Center, and that's so cool. In 1997, he purchased a beach property and began renting it in the summer months. He gained a ton of experience in the ways of housing and real estate in the Ocean City area. In 2000, his radio career took him from Ocean City to Washington, D.C. Alex has done traffic on major stations including WTOP, WUSA-TV, Channel 9, and all in a helicopter. How cool is that? He was married in 2003 and eventually moved his family back to Ocean City. He's been very familiar with managing and renting property as well firsthand. He knows what it's like to maintain your investment from afar. If you're planning or living in the area full-time, he's definitely the go-to man. And we're going to talk about it in a little bit. And Ocean City, Maryland, for those of you who have never been, is on the East Coast in Maryland, but there's so much to do and so many communities. You're about 2.5 hours from D.C. There's just and you're very close to Delaware, so it's got a lot to offer. Alex says, "If you're a seller, yes. My 36 years in broadcasting have served me well. It's not a far stretch at all to go from marketing and broadcasting to marketing your property." Add to that, I'm still in the broadcasting business as a traffic reporter, and I wait till you hear how he does this these days with our internet-savvy ways of doing everything. Alex says, "I'm your realtor on the radio." He also is the proprietor of MrOceanCity.com, LLC, a company that runs a website of the same name. A rather popular site has so many things to do about Ocean City, event calendars, traffic cameras, city ordinances. They even have a Boardwalk Elvis section. How cool is that? And it's whether it's radio advertising, knowing how to get the word out, or internet marketing, Alex covered all the bases for all client and customer real estate needs in Ocean City and surrounding areas. Today we will share some interesting information as well as relating to loans, COVID-19, and a whole lot more. Without further ado, I'd like to welcome Alex Piella. Hey, how you doing? Thanks for coming on today.
But thanks, Natalie. Wow, you make me sound really impressive.
Before we wrap up this hour, we
must address Boardwalk Elvis because people are probably wondering about that. But we'll talk about it toward the end, so you got to stay tuned. All right. So, the one thing I was pondering about the connection between broadcasting and selling real estate and all that, and I think if there's any realtors listening. you know, every now and then I bump into a realtor and the guy says, I can't sell anything. What I do is I just talk. And I thought about that, and I said, you know something, I have a communication arts degree, and you presume that you're going to be on the radio or TV, but in a sense, what is real estate? Like, real estate is sending tons of emails, answering questions, getting people's questions right so you get the right answers. Am I right? I mean, that's what it comes down to, just talking and communicating. So,
and finding, making them aware and having your knowledge to be able to avert a lot of problems, which you do. You know, you have a lot of knowledge, firsthand knowledge, too, as well. And I'm really impressed with how you keep yourself very abreast of the market, et cetera. You know, it is talking. I agree with you, but you need that knowledge, though, right? You want to know what you're talking about and know. And so many times people ask us questions that we're not legally allowed to answer, too, right? So it's really a matter of being able to get them that information, know how to get them, and make them feel comfortable and really take care of them, right? Otherwise, why do they need agents and brokers? They don't really, right? Nowadays with the Internet, I mean, somebody can go find a property, make a phone call, and try to get it, right? So they need you because you're a big part of it, too.
Right, exactly. It's one thing just, you know, you could order food on Amazon. Go ahead. They send it in the mail, but to order a house, you need to, you know, there's more to it than ordering, a carton of tasty cakes online, you know. So, but I think, too, you almost have to be a friend to the people who are engaging in your business. You know, as a matter of fact, this morning before we came on, I put up a listing. And I we could go into detail about it later on, but I don't want to talk about the listing. I want to talk about the client. And so the gentleman – it's a commercial property downtown, and I was a listing agent back in 2017 when he purchased it, but I ended up talking to him, and even though my client was the seller as the buyer, I still helped him out. And now here 3 years later, he finds that he needs to sell the property, and part of it is most of my discussion with the guy is, I don't want to say calming him down, but just making him feel better. Because, you know, he's anytime you're selling something like a piece of property or house or anything, you're anxiety ridden. You know, I'll come around and say it. I mean, it's not an easy thing, especially when you're 4 hours away. The guy lives in Prince William County. He's a construction guy in Fairfax County, and his property's down here. And I just have to reassure him that I'm like 10 minutes away. If you have any questions, call me.
Right.
If something comes up, I'll let you know. You know, and that's all it comes down to. So. But
Well, tell us where it is in Mission City. Tell us where it is and how much it is, because somebody may have a buyer.
Okay, all right.
We have a lot of agents and brokers that listen later, and then with the general public as well. So,
let's discuss downtown Ocean City. First of all, I'll come right out. I'm a downtown guy. I'm Mr. Downtown. I have my first house in Ocean City. Is near First Street, and I'm a block away from this property I just listed, and this property was right at the base of the Route 50 bridge. So as you're coming into town, you look to the left, right there where 50 meets Philadelphia Avenue, there's the gas station.
Okay,
this parcel is right behind the gas station, and this is a, you know, when you think of all the major confluences of highways, the confluence of traffic. Or intersections. You know, if you were to list the top 20 intersections on the East Coast, I would go out on a limb and say this is one of the top intersections on the East Coast because this is
really?
Where Route 50 ends.
You think so?
Well, I think so. Well, you know, just think, you know, one of them would be, say, the Mixing Bowl in Springfield there in D.C. Another one would be right where, you know, the JFX hits the Beltway in Baltimore. You know, another one would be right where 95 – and 295 split in Northern Delaware. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, there's very critical, you know, high traffic areas. So this is where thousands of people come to vacation Ocean City, and thousands of people, when they're leaving, they go right past this particular location.
Right.
So this building that's there now, it was a rooming house, boarding house from 1930. It survived the hurricane of 62. I mean, this building has lived a rich life, but now the town is saying this, it's got to go. So I'm not only selling this parcel, I'm selling the neighborhood. And one aspect of downtown Ocean City that very few people are aware of is this special zoning that was instituted in 2002, 2003, and it was modified a few years after that. But it's a type of zoning called downtown mixed use, DMX, right? And if you're a realtor and you go to, if you could get on Bright, which is our MLS service, I have in the documents the actual from the Muni Code from the town of Ocean City, there's zoning of what this is all about. So every single property in that downtown mixed use can be converted to any type of business if of course, once you fulfill the specific aspects of that business. Now, I mentioned my house, not far from that particular – from my listing, right? My house, if I wanted to turn it into a T-shirt shop tomorrow, or if I wanted to make like a type of – like sell like sodas and snacks and suntan lotion – if I got the proper permits and everything, I could do that. If I wanted to turn it into a restaurant, well, then I'd have to also go next level and talk to the county health department and get the the requirements for like the proper refrigeration, all that. But you see where I'm going with this. So this particular parcel that I'm selling, it's 5,520 square feet, 0.13 acres. Yeah, so it's so easy to get to by vehicle, but it's close
to the ocean. It's right there. It's very close to the ocean.
Exactly. You stand on the porch of this building that's there, and you could see the boardwalk arch. It's right there,
and
the bay is right there on the other side. Excuse me.
How much is it listed for?
So the parcel $570,000. So we're doing the comps for recent sales about 10 blocks away, and the cost per square foot, I just did the math that way. And if just doing the straight math for the cost per square foot, it came out much higher. Okay. So I think, there's that sweet spot you got to find, meaning like, okay, well, this other property, the other property that's sold is like maybe 2/3 the size of this one. So the cost per square foot was like 147 or something like that. So we just kind of like, if we did the cost per square foot on this one, it was like way up there. So me and my client decided, okay, we'll make a little more, more of a realistic price here.
Well, so what I want to understand is the city is forcing you to take a building down. So what's being sold right now is land.
This gentleman, like I said, he owns a construction company. Mm-hmm. And he and the previous owner, they've been trying to get the guy to do something with that building for years. So the city has been kind of hoping that somebody would do something with that building. And so my current seller was actually discussing tearing down the building, and he was going to put a four townhouses, three bed, two bathroom with like parking beneath, So the garage isn't really a living space. So your flood insurance, your living area begins on the second floor. Whatever. So the thing is, he was discussing that, and he had the plans drawn up. He actually paid a professional architect to draw the plans up, and the town generally so far was approving of the plans, and he hasn't gotten the permits yet. But, whoever buys this can actually use those plans and build the four townhouse structure there. But you don't have to do that either. If you're somebody who's got an idea for doing a vanilla box,
commercial, right?
And then
it's commercial though,
right?
So that would be the best way to go, the higher use commercial.
Years ago, the designation was C1 commercial, but then this downtown mixed use kind of expands on that and it gives it more flexibility.
Okay.
Because what the town of Ocean City. Let me look at my comments in the.
It gives it more. That's a good. So that's something that because the price sounds low to me. So that's why I'm asking different questions like that. Yeah.
I see. Yeah. Well, the thing is though, my thing is he's got other opportunities over in Fairfax County where he lives, and he's still going to get the value out of the land, but now it's time. Because like I said, he's 4 hours away, and he. It was one of these things where at the time he thought he could be able to handle it, but now he's getting more work over there. So,
right. No, it makes sense.
That's a scenario. So let me read what the town of Ocean City describes as downtown mixed use. Quote, the purpose of this district is to create a mixed use, pedestrian oriented area that encourages development and redevelopment characteristic of the oldest part of Ocean City. The area will allow for commercial and personal services that meet the daily needs of residents and visitors, as well as sufficient public open space that encourages pedestrian circulation throughout the entire district. Special design and development criteria with high density residential development are appropriate for this district. So they're encouraging people residential, you know retail, this, that, and then I said, if you look in the documents, they enumerate, like right off the top, they enumerate 50 plus types of businesses that right off the bat, like if you have any questions, boom, here's what they allow with no special permitting. And then
that's
if like
fantastic.
You want a liquor store or whatever, then that would be special permitting. But the one aspect of the downtown that's finally going to blow open here is if you were somebody who used to come to Ocean City, you knew that on the Bayside, just north of the Route 50 bridge, was the old concrete plant. That plant is gone. For the past 3 years, they've been building this beautiful 8-story, 137-unit hotel called the Cambria. Once that hotel opens, the foot traffic in that block is going to be phenomenal because that hotel
location.
Is south of First Street. Right, exactly. And people are going to be wandering around and just walking. It's like, oh, well, look at here. Here's this fancy
building,
Ocean City store.
Can that building be used or it has to be torn down? Is the seller going to tear it down or the buyer has to tear it down? Or is the buyer
will have to tear it down. Well, that's another reason.
It definitely cannot be used. Okay, that makes sense.
No, it's done, yeah. So that's another reason why we made the price a little lower. So it's like, we sweetened the deal a little bit because I think the average cost of a tear down is between $30,000 and $40,000. That's like the I don't want to call it the urban myth, but that's the legend in Ocean City. Yeah, tear down $30,000. Yeah, like as if it's like you know it's like, oh yeah, here it is. It's like Monopoly game. Oh, $30,000 tear down. Yeah, see, so that's what they're anticipating. So, and
I like it. So tell us about that. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. I'm done. I'm done with that.
I'm just thinking, so if anybody wants, so for Ocean City, which I'm very familiar with all my years, so Ocean City, for those that want to live in town, you have everything you can think of, right? I mean, you have all the conveniences, right? You have it's schools, et cetera, the stores, the shops. Of course, we're going through COVID right now, which has been pretty much a nightmare, but so you have the boardwalks, which is really, I think with Ocean City, it's amazing because we take boardwalks for granted. Like in Ocean City, I think New Delaware, not New Jersey, but like for example in Hawaii, you don't see the boardwalks like we have them here, you know? So a lot of people take, it's really neat. But so Ocean City, if somebody wants to live outside of Ocean City, there's quite a lot of communities, right? They put you kind of in the suburbs, but not in the suburbs. You're still 10 minutes away from Ocean City, right? Kind of give us a take on, like, just the communities and areas and because you can have almost every type of living you want, even though, when you say city, you have a lot of good restaurants there, right? But you're not going to give us a little bit of a circumference of
sure. Now whenever I try to describe the Ocean City, West Ocean City, Ocean Pines dynamic, if I try to find out where the person lives, all right. So if you're from Washington D.C., I'll say, okay, well, see, Ocean City is like, imagine like D.C. with the tourist area, et cetera, et cetera. And Ocean Pines is like Fairfax or Arlington. Or I say, if you're from Philadelphia, I say, well, like Ocean Pines is like Cherry Hill across the river kind of thing. So people get this idea where you have the, am I right? You have the bustling activity.
Yeah.
I lived in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. If anybody from Harrisburg is listening, it's like, well, imagine, Ocean City is like Market Street in Harrisburg. And, the Ocean Pines is like Camp Hill, whatever. So the thing is, when you come across the bay, right now in West Ocean City, they just got done a year ago with the next 10-year plan for the Route 50 corridor from the drawbridge all the way up past Racetrack Road, okay? So they realize that there is going to be more residential coming up. So So the county got it under control. The county decided, well, let's get ahead of this, and they laid out plans for eventually having, you know, public sewer and all that type of thing. But right now, though, if you come west out of Ocean City and you go north, i.e. right, and turn on Golf Course Road, Keyser Point Road, you have what's called the Isle of Wight, and, you know, you have Oyster Harbor, and you have all these other little developments there in West OC. And one nice, one good thing, that's the unincorporated part of Ocean City, and there's no city tax there. Or you go down Stephen Decatur Highway, you go down Stephen Decatur Highway and Route 611, and you go toward, you go down past the airport, and you have any, you know, these little developments like, well, South Point is way down, but you'll have, you know, Mystic Harbor and all these other developments there.
Mm-hmm.
And for those of you who want a perspective, you read that book, Misty and her, you know, Misty of Chincoteague and the Assateague Ponies, you know, the ponies on the beach. Well, if you go down 611 Assateague Highway to the very end, that's where the state park is, where the ponies are. So, you know, so
that's
another nice thing there. And then you have Town of Berlin too. Town of Berlin, it's famous for having filmed Runaway Bride with Julia Roberts and Tuck Everlasting. And I can't remember the stars of that. You know, it's really sad. I got into the Screen Actors Guild because I was an extra. Yeah, I was an extra in Tuck Everlasting.
Did?
Yeah, that's because I did three days of, you know, to fulfill the union part. But the thing is, I didn't watch that movie until 15 years after I was in it. So,
Berlin.
So So the thing is, Berlin, they shot those two movies there. And then little by little, I think in 2001, Berlin was voted the coolest little town in America. And now there's an antique district.
Cool.
Yeah, and they tout that, and it's true. You know, there's something nice about downtown Berlin. They have the antique shops and everything. But now, you know, and so many of these districts, sometimes they have like they're just nothing but antique shops, and there's nothing to change up the scene. But now they have restaurants, and they have the Island Creamery, which was this successful ice cream store from Chincoteague, Virginia. Oh, fabulous. I mean, some people go just for that. And then they have the Burley Oak Brewery, which is a brew pub. Like, they brew the beer right there on the premises, and they're allowed to sell the beer. But because of the way their license is, they can't serve food. But they will allow you to call pizza. They'll call for, like,
and
you can call for delivery, and they'll let you bring, you know, they'll bring the food there. But if you're into microbrews and all that, there's Burley Oak and everything. So then Ocean Pines.
I want to ask you, on pricing, like Ocean Pines, you can still buy a small rancher for, what, $200,000, right? Or a small house for $200,000 on up,
well,
right?
I'm sitting in front of the computer right now. Let's look here. So they're out there, Natalie, but let's see.
I mean,
you can
also pay $1 million in Ocean City, too. It's all over the place, right? But I'm just saying it's very affordable when you compare it to other areas, I think.
Ocean Pines, yeah, you could still get, you know, there are still properties that were, like when the real estate crash happened in 2008, even as late as 2015, there were still distressed properties that were getting rehabilitated, and now they're being put on the market at, you know, relatively good prices, and they're really looking nuts. Okay, so right now in Ocean Pines, let's see, can you guess how many units are available in Ocean Pines right now?
Well, are we saying North Ocean Pines or South or just total?
The entire, all of Ocean Pines for sale right now.
So it'll count North and South, right, because they're two different names, kind of. Right now, I don't know, maybe 12?
No, 48. There's 48. Okay, you're lowballing here.
There's 48.
Sorry, right now the lowest. I know, that's crazy. We'll address that topic.
There's 48.
Yeah, the fact. And all of Ocean Pines is like. This addresses the hot real estate market right now, too. But anyway, so right now the lowest price of a property in Ocean Pines, $169,000, but it's a end-of-row townhouse, two baths, built in 1999, just under 1,200 square feet. So, you know, and then let's see what the highest price thing in Ocean Pines
is. Because it does
make
a difference in Ocean City anywhere. You know, if you're on the water, near the water, you know, everything, of course, location makes a difference. But I just want to mention, because there are affordable areas in Ocean City,
right,
and outside of Ocean City still. That's what I, yeah.
Well, the thing about Ocean Pines,
there?
Too, the highest is $1,790,000, but that's right on the water just south of Route 90 in that section there, you know. So, no, that's down at the point there. But the thing is, what I was going to say is about 2 years ago, Forbes magazine came out with the top 25 retirement destinations in the United States. And they specifically said, we're not going to list them in any particular order because that wouldn't be fair. It's kind of like there's any various aspect to any of these.
Right.
It's apples and oranges to try to rank them. But Ocean Pines was in that top 25.
In the Forbes, was it?
Yeah, in
wow.
Forbes magazine. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure if you searched it, it would be there.
Yeah.
And the nice thing about Ocean Pines, I think Ocean Pines has this it's a brand name people recognize. You know, it's been around since they just celebrated their 50th anniversary in 2019.
Wow.
So they've been around since 69, and they've really been successful with their operation for 50 years. There are over 8,000 houses in Ocean Pines, and there are back in the day, there were all these little neighborhoods. Like when Ocean Pines first started, you had Colonial Village, and you had Pintail Island, and you had Wood Duck 1, Wood Duck 2, and you had Sherwood Forest and all that. And then I think it was in the 80s, there's probably somebody out there who will correct me on this one, but in the 80s, everybody got together and said, we all want to be under one homeowners association is what they did.
Mm.
But the HOA fees aren't too bad. I mean, if you're a wooded lot, which means you're not on the water, you're paying $900 a year. And people go, oh, $900,
right, really
oh my. But the thing is,
no, that's
there's
really
no
cheap
city
compared
tax,
to so. When you look at a lot of air. It's very cheap. And all the lot, everything's wooded in Ocean Pines. It's really nice, and they have like five pools and all these different community activities, right? And one of the pools is in Ocean City. Yeah.
Well, it's actually the Ocean Pines, the homeowners association owns a block in Ocean City. It's just south of my office, believe it or not. It's on 49th Street. So that entire section is owned by Ocean Pines. They call it the Ocean Club.
Right.
And
right.
I guess if you're an Ocean Pines resident, you have your little ID and you get it for free. Discounts if you're a
they
free member
parking.
Of the Pines.
You have
if you're
like
not
parking. Yeah, that's nice.
Exactly. Yeah, you could still go there if you're not a member. If you don't own property in Ocean Pines, you can still go there. But they have these little perks using the pool is like half price or something,
right.
The usual type of thing. But yeah, so they do have good memory there. Yeah, they have the pool right there on the beach. So the Ocean Club is what it's called. So, then one other area too, which I'm familiar with is if you want to live in the area but you don't want to be right in Ocean City, Bishopville is it's not like an incorporated town so to speak, but if you go out on Route 90 and you go north on St. Martin's Neck Road. There are any number of little developments or just standalone houses and little sections that very few people aren't aware of. It's almost like locals don't tell people about Bishopville. Yeah. Because somebody I know lives there.
They want to keep it a secret.
Somebody I know is there right now. anyway,
that's too funny.
But the good thing
you got to keep it a secret. Now it's going to be the best.
Yeah, I know. Because somebody told me that if you leave the house, You drive down St. Martin's Neck Road, and in 10 minutes, boom, there's Ocean City right there before you. So,
mm-hmm.
So all right, I think people know what I'm getting at. So for me, when there's no traffic, I'm in the office in 12 minutes in Ocean City.
It's wonderful,
isn't
it?
Ocean City.
Yeah.
So you could, if you want to come and live here, you're living in the bucolic farmlands, and you want to be in Ocean City, bang, zoom, you're right here, So
you have the best of both worlds, really.
You get
the best of both worlds. So tell us, okay, so from Ocean City, going up 50, you can hit the Bay Bridge in about an hour and a half, 45 minutes.
Just under two hours. Yeah, hour 45 minutes.
Okay, with traffic
When you're with me, I'm stopping at Wawa every time I drive past it, but that's just me,
yes. They got to add a little bit, 15 minutes we got to add there. Well, and so that's the true Eastern. You're going to go past the true Eastern Shore, Cambridge and
right.
Easton, and I'm just throwing this in because, of course, and then Kent Island is adorable, too. I mean, these are areas that, if you want to have some of the Eastern Shore living, it's really interesting. So tell us, when in Ocean City, if you go the other direction, how long does it take you to get to Delaware? Not by the beach.
Delaware takes 5 minutes. Well, Delaware is just up the road, and so the there's this dynamic. I wouldn't call it a rivalry. It's like this brother-sister contrast between Ocean City and the Delaware beaches. And there are two different animals. They fulfill people's wants. You know, like some people want something else, some people want the other thing. Now, think about here's I'm also licensed in Delaware because you got to be.
Okay,
here, right?
Great.
So whenever anybody from out of state says, I want to live in Delaware because the property taxes are cheaper, okay? And I say, okay, what else? Why else?
Okay.
Well, all right. But I'm going to expand on that a little bit. Why else do you want to live in Delaware? I want to retire in Delaware because they don't tax your income like they do in Maryland. Okay. And so they say, and people say, I want to go to Delaware. I want a waterfront property. What do you got? So where do we begin here? Right. First off, let's talk about waterfront properties in Delaware versus waterfront properties in Maryland. Now, years ago in the 60s, it seems that Sussex County, which is the county in Delaware that touches the ocean, Sussex County, they were very rural. They were a little undeveloped. And when I first moved here in 96, I lived in Ocean City, but I worked in Delaware. And as I recall, and this is before I was well-versed in real estate, but I kind of remember this, the county had the county rule said you couldn't subdivide parcels below 20 acres, right? So,
no way.
You know,
oh.
Yeah, exactly. So, now Route 1 in Rehoboth and Lewis, which is jam-packed with stores, back then it was amazing how in 1996 there were no big stores on the property. So then in 98 they said, you could subdivide to 10 acres. Then you saw like a Lowe's pop up and a Giant Market and like some of these little grocery store complexes. And then as the years went by, they allowed as much subdivision as possible. Backing up a bit here, the history of Delaware was that they didn't build in the 60s, they were not building or developing waterfront properties the way the town of Ocean City was. By 1967, 68, 69, all the high-rise condos were in Ocean City. All those low-rise condos, those little garden complexes, you know, these garden condos, like, you know, six units, three stories, like all those little condos are up along State Line down toward, Ocean City had, you know, downtown they had the boardwalk. They had all these things being built up. So by, 70, 71, 72, it was all happening. And Delaware was Delaware was just so behind. You might have had some buildup in Bethany, and then I think then between Bethany and Dewey Beach, north of Bethany up to Dewey Beach, that's all Delaware State Park. Now there was some buildup north of Bethany for a while, but those are $1 million properties. Like those are exclusive neighborhoods, and and the houses there, you're not gonna. They won't let you look at anything unless you've got $500,000 in your pocket. So that's what ended up being developed there north of Bethany. So now when you do want to, when people come and say, well, we want a beachfront place in Delaware, well, you could go to Dewey Beach. But one thing people don't realize about Dewey Beach is half the town is ground rent. And I would imagine, should I describe what ground rent is? Well, so you buy the house.
Ground rent really depends where you are, though, how much they charge. You're right. Go ahead. Yes.
Well, somebody, I was talking to a gentleman yesterday. He wanted to buy in Delaware a lead I had, but even he knew. He said, "Well, look at this oceanside house in Dewey Beach, this condo, and they only wanted $180,000 for it. And I saw the ground rent was something like $1,000 a month. So you're paying rent. It's like a mobile home park, except it's not house.
No, it's not a mobile home park. I take that one back.
I'm only laughing because
you don't own the land. Yeah. So the ground rent, I just want to interject, is ground rent is when you do not own the land, but it depends how much it is, because a lot of ground rent leases might be 99 years, or it depends when they are. But, for example, if it's $1,000 a month, interesting enough, I wonder if those ground rents can be purchased. Can you purchase it outright, or are you stuck having the lease? Do they allow you to purchase the ground rent?
It all depends. The government can. It all depends what the owners want to do. Now, I know.
But they're
allowed
if they want to.
I know, for example, there are a few blocks in Dewey Beach where they are selling off the condos, and they said, and in the MLS it said, ground rent being, you could buy ground rent ending in a year, in 6 months, or ground rent ending in a year. So they were saying that you could buy, like, the clock was ticking, and if you bought, that you could buy up the ground rent and be done. Because I think the family who owned the ground rent interest, I think the parents died, and it was the children who lived far away, and they were just sick of dealing with maintaining this property, you know,
right,
hours away, and they're just like, let's just cash out here, and that'll be that.
But that's good, though. It's good, because I just want to interject it a little bit. The 13 colonies, I mean, you know, of course, Maryland, Delaware, you know, there was a ground rents were common, and it depends where you are in the country. In Hawaii, we have ground rents, too, and for example, in Maryland, you may have a house, and the ground rent is only $180 every 6 months, you know, or maybe $96
right,
every 6 months. And then to purchase it, it's like divided by 6%. It might only be $2,500 to purchase. I mean, you know, it may be $2,500, maybe $6,000. I'm just giving you examples in Maryland. I'm not sure how they're working their ground rents in Delaware. I would assume if a ground rent's $1,000 a month, the cost to purchase is going to be pretty high. Now, in Hawaii, there still are ground rents, believe it or not, from the Royal Times, and Bishop Estates has a lot of it. And in Hawaii, I saw Hyatt Hotel sell for, what, $800 million on ground rent. But in Hawaii, for example, I had to purchase on one of the properties I owned, and I've since sold it. There was a law being changed in 2004, and the owners were not required to sell the ground rent if they didn't want to sell the ground rent. And it was like, oh, my gosh, I didn't want to. I knew I was going to sell this house in a certain amount of time. I had two dogs, and I was just keeping it kind of for them, but I knew I'd be selling it and in a short period of time, a few years. And I had to immediately cough up $100,000 to buy the ground rent because that law changed in Hawaii where the owners didn't have to sell it to you if they didn't want to, right? So when it comes to ground rent, it definitely behooves everybody to really, really learn what it's about and find out what the law is. So like in Maryland, on many properties that still have it, and they're not that many, it's like, it's no big deal. It's a little bit of money. It's not much. Just buy it $6,000 or whatever.
Right. Well,
let me
interject you really quick. It was just, the only place you'll see ground rent in the city is in mobile home parks, so don't worry about that. So continue.
When I was saying mobile home parks, when I was laughing about it, it's just that the mobile home parks, typically, you know, whoever owns that land there, they rent it to you, you know, the land. You don't own it, right? So it's a different you don't even get title to that land usually is what but maybe they changed it. But the on the title, it's not even. You're just leasing. You're putting your mobile home, but I could be wrong in that. The ground rent. The other thing is, so it's really important to know because many lenders, if they're going to lend now, a lot of rules, and we were talking about that yesterday. A lot of rules are changing in the lending industry. They changed after 2008, and now with COVID, a lot of lenders, big mortgage brokers, are running scared. So there's a lot of things that they're tightening up on. But historically. Generally, but again, you have to check it out thoroughly because things are changing. Lenders want to see like 35 years left on that ground rent if they're going to lend it to you. If a ground rent's expiring, coming due in 5 years, you're not getting a regular loan. So it's really important to look at all of that and look at the details because, you know, some people, I've seen people, they go, I only want to live there 20, 30 years. I'm not going to give it to anybody. I don't care, you know. So it's interesting, isn't it? But it's cheap in Maryland compared to many places, I should say. So I just wanted to interject that because it's so much to learn.
I think Montego Bay up at 100, there, Montego Bay is a, you know, Bayside around the 138, you know, just south of 140. There are spots in there with ground rent, and they're, you know, manufactured homes. So that's one. Montego Bay. I think is the only place in Ocean City that I would say has ground rent that's not trailer mobile. That's not a mobile home park. So, but most people, you know, most realtors down here know that off the bat. Another thing about Delaware, like if you think, property taxes are cheaper. Well, you know, in Maryland, when you purchase a home in Worcester County, the transfer taxes is the state transfer tax is 0.5%. The Worcester County transfer tax is 0.25%, right? In Delaware, listen to this, right? The state transfer tax in Delaware is 2.5% The county tax is 1.5%, and if you and certain towns have an extra percent on there. So I think Bethany and Rehoboth and Lewis will tack on an extra 1%. So think about, you're buying a property.
Wow.
It's another realty commission. So you're looking at 4%, maybe 5% off the top. And I was doing the math on what the tipping point is. Like, if you buy a property in Maryland and a similar property in Delaware, if you own that property in Delaware at the lower property tax, you break even in about 8 years. So you know what I'm saying? So if you're thinking you're getting lower property tax, you're paying, and granted, that 5% you're splitting with the, you know, buyers and sellers are splitting that, you know, but still, it's still an enormous amount
of
money,
lot of money
to pay up front. Yeah. So, and then the fact that Delaware is having, like, when you go, they don't tax your retirement. Well, they recently added a rule in Delaware that if you move from out of state, you do get reduced taxes, but you don't get the full benefit until you're there for 10 years. So if you move to Delaware, they just changed that. So if you move to Delaware with the idea that you're going to get, they're not going to tax your retirement, move there 10 years before you retire, because you got to be there 10 years to get the full benefit. Yeah. So if you just move right after retirement, you'll get it's a lower tax. I mean, it's still a pretty good tax, but it's not no tax.
Yeah.
So, you know.
So that's really good.
Maryland,
to know.
Delaware. So, I think Delaware is looking over at Maryland and saying, "Hey, how come?" It's like, "Hey, we should be getting, you know, hey, they're getting all the money and we're not." So that's little by little they're starting to do that. So
they're figuring, what do we have to do? Oh, I didn't know that. That's amazing. That's kind of unfair, right? People think, wow.
Well, but
10 years,
it's
a long time.
Well, but yeah, I don't know exactly. You know, like I said, I'm not, and also, you know, I'm not a tax expert. You have to consult your local, you know, tax expert to find that out. Because other realtors understand this. You don't, you try not to offer advice out of your pay grade, you know, when it comes to different things, because it'll come back to bite you. You know, it's like, you said that you're going to get taxed, probably. You know,
you have to check with your tax advisor and attorney. We're not offering legal advice here today. That's so true. But see, that's a good thing about using a realtor and using you, is because you're going to know what questions to ask, you know, what to find out, what's important to know. And that's really important, you know. And and then it has to be double checked, of course, and double checked by the client, because things change, right? But this is because somebody comes in, those closing costs are huge, very big.
One thing you talked about was
prices.
The prices are kind of, they're not the real estate market's kind of hot now. Let's address that. Now, if you said to me back in March, when this whole COVID thing was looming, and they shut down, the town shut down St. Patrick's Day weekend, and you said, "Hey, what do you think is going to happen come June, July?" I would have said we'd be in some sort of like recession or something. It's totally counterintuitive, and I'm glad there is business, but I'm still cautious. I'm wondering, okay, how long is this going to go on? Blah blah blah. But I've chatted with realtors on Facebook pages, you know, these realtor pages nationwide and whatever. And I think there's several things that are making the market hot. And at first I thought this was just resort areas, but it seems the markets are hot everywhere. I mean, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know. You know, maybe high tide lifts all ships up or whatever. But what happened was, I had friends who owned properties in Ocean City, and they did short-term weekly rentals, and they lost all their rentals through April. Then the first Thursday in May, Town of Ocean City lifted the ban on hotel stays and short-term rentals. And then, boom, it's like the floodwaters coming back in, and people were renting 3 weeks at a time, 4 weeks at a time. And I had my one friend, she has her own short-term rental business. Somebody asked to rent for 6 weeks, and she said, "If you want 6 weeks, you're not going to use a credit card. You're going to FedEx me a check tomorrow." And the guy did, right? So I think what is happening, people realize that they have to work from home, or the fact they could work from home, they said, "Well, I can either – sit in my house somewhere in some mountain behind, in Frederick, Maryland, or I could sit looking at the beach. So I'll either rent out, you know, rent a place, or I'll buy my own place." And listing agents are trying to raise prices, Natalie, but, and I got kind of stung by this recently. There was a development where several properties were at, say, 180, okay? and the listing agent asked for like something around two. So I told my buyer, said, you know what, the price, you know, like buildings are getting, you know, we were getting properties bought out from under us. So he offered the full price. But what happened? What had happened was because this boom, so to speak, this mini boom is so recent, the appraiser couldn't find anything that would appraise at that value. So we came to a compromise with the buyer and the seller, which I could tell you the details, but you wouldn't know. But the thing is, you know, they had to go below what the listing price was. So that's another thing I've got to watch out for, because this is something where, you know, back in 2005, 2006, everybody's like, yeah, we'll pay more money and this will happen and this and that. And now it's like, it's the prices are starting to creep up, but they're still bouncing off the rubber ceiling. You know what I mean? It's still, there's multiple offers coming. But it's not crazy like back in the real estate boom. Like people are just, you know, the extra money, the higher offers aren't that high, and they're not happening that often. What ends up happening is people just take whatever deal they can and just sell out from under you, you know. So.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, we did think it was going to be tough. I think low interest rates right now are still helping a lot because they've lowered the rates so low. I still feel like, I know we're not supposed to predict and we don't have a crystal ball and who knows, but I feel like there's so many forbearances out there right now. And correct, I haven't heard where the lenders are putting it on the back end. Somebody told me Wells Fargo might do that, but from what I've heard, if somebody takes the forbearance, they're still going to have to pay it in full in 3 months or 12 months or whenever that forbearance
due. I just settled on something yesterday, and the guy had
took
a forbearance. Well, this wasn't a big lender. Like, it's not a lender most people would know, FHA changed the rules. This wasn't the lender; it was the rules that FHA put out there, and the gentleman took.
What did they do?
And he had to pay it. He had to pay it up. He had to catch up, so he was in forbearance for 3 months.
And I don't think a lot of people realize it. I called mortgage, you know, people when it first came out, and they said it's not going to hurt your credit, but it is affecting people's credit, especially if they'd go to refinance. But it seems if they're going to make you pay it in full 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, many people aren't going to have the money, and we're going to see short sales. We're going to see foreclosures, which I think is really sad. So I think the market is going to shift next year unless the government steps in and somehow these mortgage companies are going to agree to put it on the back end if they get funding. Because they can't stay in business. They can't. Yeah.
Well, I think I see that as being part of like the, you know, it was like some candy to give to the children who are upset kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like, it was great getting, there's four of us in the family, the four people, you know, two adults and two children. It was great getting that magic money showing up in our checking account. And hey, man, you know, I'll take that any day, I guess. But on the other side, you know, it just seemed like, oh, you can go to forbearance, do this ahead of time. I mean, and my client who did that, he didn't need to, but he just did it, took it anyway. You know, he kind of said, well, I'll just do it because they presented it as tra la 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 la, this won't hurt your credit, we can catch you up, do 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 do. And then he finds out, well, we won't issue another loan until you're caught up with payment. And people are like, huh, what?
And a lot of the lenders for the refinancing aren't doing refinances when someone had the forbearance. So they really needed to get clear about letting everybody know. I don't want to take up because we've only got about 10 minutes left, and I want to hear what you have to say because I have something to say about forbearances and the whole picture, but I won't do it on this show because it'll take too long.
Right.
Because it was set up differently. So go ahead.
So we're talking banking here, and I will turn this around and make a very interesting point about Ocean City. And this is another thing which most people don't realize, that the concept of a non-conforming loan, non-conforming. Now, what that means is if you have a property, there's certain properties that will not qualify for FHA government loans that are guaranteed by the government, you know, that loans that can't be resold on the secondary market. Is that the best way of saying it? So, for example, and it's not anything to do with forbearance or anything, you know, malicious or sinister. It's like there's certain high-rise condos in Ocean City, or even low or even, you know, low-rise condos that are, can't do non-conforming loans. If there's a condominium that has half the units are second homes and half the units are timeshares, that won't work. So you have to go. Mm-hmm. You can't get a regular loan from a national lender. What you need to do, there are four local banks, maybe five, that you can go to that they originate the loans from their own money there in town. Okay. So Another example, the Carousel, the most famous condominium in Ocean City,
right.
The first. I don't think it was the first one, but I think it's the most, you know, well known. They've got a skating rink in the Carousel. They have restaurants.
Yeah.
They have bars, and half and three floors are a regular hotel, and the rest of the floors are condominiums. And right there, you're combining businesses, and you can't get a regular loan. Another building, Golden Sands. Golden Sands is beautiful. It's 22 stories high, and the view. You can see the curve of the earth from the top floor and everything else. But because the Golden Sands has a restaurant and a bar down below, so much of their income comes from non-HOA fees that disqualifies them from a conforming loan. So if
right.
you come to Ocean City, if you want me to find you a property, I will get you – first of all, we'll start off with getting with a local lender because we can make another entire show about – the pitfalls of using out of town lenders, but anyway,
right now, yeah,
I could rant all about that. So then we would look at these properties, and I have any number of lender friends who would gladly tell me, you know, I mean, I know the ones that don't conform. Say you want to buy a place Carousel. Well, then we'd either take it to Bank of Ocean City, Taylor Bank, Farmers Bank of Willards, and First Federal in Ocean Pines, and they all originate. So you sit down and you give them, you know, you fill out all your information, and then it's like Thursday night, all these banks, all the vice presidents sit around every Thursday night, and they all look over the paperwork and they decide, okay, this guy looks good, he's got good credit, da 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 da. And every Friday morning is when you find out if you've got your loan, you know. So
right.
But the money is not, the money doesn't come, it doesn't go back on the secondary market. It's all kept locally. And I have good friends who work at these banks, and I know that they're really good people, and I know that, you know, they'll do whatever they can to get you what they want because they are the ones. Like, you look at these high rises, whatever, and when you see Bank of Ocean City or Taylor Bank or any of these other banks, those buildings are there because of them. Because, you know, what amazes me and what I find the dynamic of a town like Ocean City, right? There are some people who will drive through the town and say, "Oh, look at all these empty buildings. Why can't we put homeless people in there? Look at this. Look at all these empty buildings. Like, why do we need all these?" You know, and I feel like telling them, every single door on each of these buildings represents a family's hopes and dreams. You see you look at that condo. You drive past that condo. You see that door there with that light on. That light on the door. There's some husband and wife who saved up for years, and they kept their credit good, and they decided to work to try to do weekly rentals, whatever they did to fund the place. And that building, that condo, and every condo on that floor, all the floors together, is all these families doing this. It's all these banks helping these people do that. So could you imagine if, you know, it's like the town doesn't happen like magic. Like, every door is millions of families, you know, who help make Ocean City what it is.
Right. Exactly.
Hallelujah.
It's awesome. It's a great place to be, a great place to go to. And you're the man to go to. Hey, let's give your contact information as well.
All right. So my office is, the full name is Berkshire Hathaway Home Services, PenFed Realty. That's the legal, I have to say the whole thing. And the office number is 410-524-7000, okay? It's located 5000 Coastal Highway in Ocean City, right across from Secrets ABC store. You know where that is. You've heard of Secrets. And my my cell phone is 410-289-2539. And if you forget my cell phone number, the number spells B-U-Y-A-L-E-X, 410-BY-ALEX. So you'll never forget that one. So,
that's perfect.
You know, if you have Yeah, it's long stood. That we could talk about that next time we do a show. How I got that number.
Yeah, we're gonna do. We're definitely gonna bring you back because you're awesome and it's such good information. And yeah, that is really. I want to hear that. I can see how people get the last four, but how you got all of it? That's pretty cool.
That's another. That was another story for another time. Oh yeah, I said I'd talk about Boardwalk Elvis. I meant to say we have 5 minutes left.
Yes.
All right. Well, if you go to my website is under when I switched to Berkshire Hathaway recently, I purged the website of the old stuff. And also too, I've had this website since 2007, and there are so many like new types of Java and new types of HTML codes that I'm going to have to switch over to a new format. And I'm just so busy like with the real estate. My website will be updated. But the one thing I did do, I purged all the old info. But if you go to MrOceanCity.com, click on Boardwalk Elvis, and this is the second most popular page on my website. Years ago, Boardwalk Elvis had been an icon on the boardwalk. He would have a red, and a black jumpsuit with sequins, and he'd have a hat with a picture of Elvis, and he had his kazoo and a boombox. And he's the type of guy, there's this unwritten rule, when you're on the boardwalk, if somebody comes up to you and talks to you, you're expected to either respond back or give a pleasant response, and you can either go on your way or whatever. So Boardwalk Elvis is one of these guys.
We should do that everywhere.
Yeah. That's right. When I first started coming to Ocean City back in 94, I'd drive down every week. I lived in Pennsylvania. I'd come every other weekend to go surfing. And the one day Boardwalk Elvis walked up to me, he said, "Here you go." And he handed me a postcard with him on it, and he autographed the back of it. And I felt like I sighted, like, you know, it was like this magic personality just blessed me with this card. And then I thought I lost that card. So a year later, I said, "Hey, do you have any more postcards?" And he said, they sell them in here. So I bought one. He autographed that one too. But he had been he was like a local treasure. You know, people would see him going up and down the boardwalk. And when he was younger, he would show up at these open mics and they would play Elvis music and he would sing. But he was definitely, you know, the celebrity in town. But unfortunately, 2 or 3 years ago, he developed throat cancer, and everybody in town knew that his time was short. So the mayor and our local state senator and local representative, they had Boardwalk Elvis Day on the right beneath the boardwalk arch, and they gave him the key to the city, and they gave him a state resolution I know, and it was kind of sad. I'm tearing up here, and then he died like a week later, and I was at his funeral. It was really something, but you know, Boardwalk Elvis is missed. But so if you go to my webpage, MrOceanCity.com, click on Boardwalk Elvis, and I actually have scans. I found that first postcard. The first postcard said Boardwalk Elvis. And his real name was Norman Webb. So then later, that was his name. Yeah. So then the last edition of these postcards said Boardwalk Norman, and I said, well, did the Elvis Presley estate sue the postcard maker? I mean, Elvis is a common name. So if you want to kill some time, go to MrOceanCity.com, look at Boardwalk Elvis, and I will get updates. I will update the site. So, but in the meantime, we're coming to our end of our time here, Natalie. Say, dude, just wrap it up like you always do.
You are wonderful. We got to have you back. And thank you so much to everybody out there. I wish you peace.
Thank you.